For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. And this portion will also be the text of the sermon. Mark chapter 7, the verses 31 through 37. And then we read God's holy word. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should not tell, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So far the reading of the word of God. Beloved congregation, listening and listening are two different things. Two people who hear the same message can respond differently. The way we respond is affected by our conduct and the expectation of the one who speaks to us. And our own circumstances can play a role in how we receive a message. The way we listen can make all the difference. How different is it when the Lord applies His word to our hearts? And then it appears that our circumstances and conduct do not matter. Even our spiritual condition cannot hinder the Lord from applying His word to the heart so that it will bear the fruit of repentance and faith. Because when the Lord speaks with power, we must hear, and our tongue will be loosed, and we will speak well of Him. The theme of the sermon is, God's word wants to be heard. God's word wants to be heard. First of all, how it comes to us. Secondly, how it is hindered. And thirdly, how it is received. God's word wants to be heard. How it comes to us, how it is hindered, how it is received. We leave the borders of Tyre and Sidon, where the Lord Jesus healed the devil-possessed daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And when we read through these chapters of the Gospel of Mark, we can get the impression that all happened in just a few days. That is probably not the case. We don't know how long the Lord Jesus has been there and to whom he preached the kingdom of God. But anyway, at some point in time, he and the disciples leave this region and head southeast. And then they go through the midst of Decapolis. Decapolis. That's located on the east side of the Jordan River. It's the non-Jewish region. Decapolis means 10 cities. These cities were member of a league, which means that they promised to help and assist each other in times of war. And they also agreed on trade terms. And in this region, both Jews and Gentiles lived and freely mingled with each other. It's not the first time that the Lord Jesus visited this region. In Mark chapter 5, we read that the Lord Jesus arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is located in Decapolis. And during his first visit, a man came from the tombs with an unclean spirit and approached Jesus. And boys and girls, maybe you know this story. The man's name was Legion, who was possessed with a multitude of devils. However, the Lord Jesus came to deliver this man from his possession. And the devils asked Jesus to send them into the swine that were feeding on the mountain. And the Lord Jesus gave them permission, and so it happened. The man was delivered from the unclean spirit, but at the same time, many swine ran down a steep bank into the sea. And the herdsmen of the swine were very angry because of this. They saw their business literally drown. And so they begged Jesus to leave their region. Well, that was Jesus' first acquaintance with Decapolis. It was a short visit. And meanwhile, the man who had been possessed went home and told his friends and whoever was willing to hear about the Lord Jesus, who had showed so much compassion upon him. And now the Lord Jesus placed his footsteps in this region again, desiring to show mercy again. Why would he do that? If they don't want him, why should he visit them again? Well, because of his compassion. That's the only reason. The Lord never deals with men because of their status in this world. He has come into this world to save that which is lost without respect of person. And he comes again to display his compassion for them. Well, how does he find them? Are they eager to listen to him now? Did the preaching of the man who had been possessed bear fruit? What we understand from this portion is that he did not, that it did not bear much fruit, since they are not really listening. That does not mean that they were ignorant. To a certain extent, they knew about Jesus, not only from the man who had been possessed, but also from others who had seen and heard the Lord Jesus preaching in Galilee. In Mark 3, we read that people from the east side heard him too. That means that people from Decapolis have heard and seen Jesus in Galilee. And undoubtedly, they told people back in their own region about it. But how did they speak about Jesus? Well, we conclude that the audience were not hungry for spiritual food, but were more interested in some sensation. The news about Jesus from Nazareth has spread throughout the region. And they talked about Jesus, yet not out of a sincere interest. And isn't that the way we so easily talk? We talk about news. And the more interesting news we have, the better we can showcase ourselves. Well, that's what happened in that region. And after they hear that Jesus is in their region, they bring a man to him with a hearing and speech problem. No, they don't send Jesus away, but they bring him an interesting case with the hope and expectation that they will see something spectacular. They want Jesus to heal this disabled man. Who brought this man? Family members or friends? It's not recorded here, but from the context, we get the impression that some passers-by brought him. They took him in tow, not out of compassion, but because they wanted to witness a miracle. They want to satisfy their own desires, namely their hunger for entertainment. They're also telling Jesus how he should heal the man, namely by laying his hand upon him. And for sure, this was Jesus' ordinary manner of healing. We read more often the requests for Jesus to lay his hands on the sick. Recall Jairus, who came with the same request. And yet with these men, it is different. They want to see whether Jesus is able to heal a man who has a double handicap, who was both deaf and dumb. Their desire is focused on personal gratification. And by doing so, they tell the Lord Jesus what he should do. And to such people, the Lord Jesus came. To those who are more interested in watching miracles than in the person who performs the miracles. They heard the Lord Jesus preach. They heard the word, but they were not affected by it. And yet it pleases the Lord to come to them. And the Lord is still the same. He comes to those who approach him with false motives, but he comes without regard of person. Otherwise, no one of us would be saved. Or do you consider yourself to be pure and upright in your desires? Well, if you have an upright desire for the Lord Jesus, then it is because he laid that desire in your heart. But by nature, we are the same as these people. And let us examine our own hearts. God's word wants to be heard. Are you craving his teaching because you are in need of him? Either we partake in the worship service as spectators, or we join with an attentive heart. And our problem is that by nature we have no attentive heart. We need grace to listen with the prayer that we may really hear the Lord's voice, since by nature we are deaf and we cannot speak well. We don't sufficiently realize our need if we dictate to the Lord what to do. That's how prayer can be. Instead of expressing our soul's need, we tell the Lord what he must do. Do you cling to certain ideas of how the Lord should deal with you and your difficulties? Maybe you know of someone whose conversion was very remarkable, even supernatural, and you think, I need to experience the same thing. Well, every conversion is supernatural, since it's the work of the Spirit. But watch out. Don't prescribe the Lord how he should deal with you, since the Lord always deals differently with us than we expect. Why? Because he's sovereign. We cannot trace his works. And on top of that, who do you think better knows how to work in your heart? Isn't that the Lord, who perfectly knows how to deal with you in such a way that you will be humbled and God's work will be exalted? But how can God's word affect us? Well, that's what we learn in our second point. When we hear how the word of God is hindered. The Lord Jesus knows their aim, and he will help the poor man. And yet he doesn't want the crowd to witness the healing of this man. He doesn't want to feed their greed for sensation. What is the man's need? What does hinder him? Well, let us try to picture this man. This man has a double handicap. He's deaf and dumb. We don't know if he already suffered from this since birth. Maybe it was during his childhood years that he grew deaf and as a result began to stammer. What a poor man is he. He's totally isolated from his environment since he does not hear anything. And he cannot express his thoughts or emotions. He can only utter some noises which no man can understand. And he always needs his hands and feet to express his wants. And in Bible times, there was no developed sign language, which nowadays is taught to deaf. And nowadays there are special schools for deaf children, and they can learn a trade or a profession. In the days of the Lord Jesus, they belonged to the outcasts of society. Well, such people did not rate. That means that this man lived in almost total isolation. He had only his own thoughts, which he could not express. He could not put anything into a word, and he could not hear any spoken word. And that was worst of all. He could not hear the word. He seemed to be out of reach, doomed to go lost. He was locked up by his useless senses. But the Lord Jesus does not want this man to continue to suffer. The Lord is filled with compassion. And that's what he always is. He is compassionate, and he always acts accordingly. That can also be seen in the way he treats this man. Because what does he do? Well, he separates this man from the crowd. The Lord does not allow prying eyes when he performs the miracle on this man. He separates the man since he wants to communicate to this man alone. He wants to open the man's ears and loosen his tongue, but he also wants his word to be applied to his heart. The Lord Jesus wants his word to be heard. And therefore, he separates him from the crowd. The man will feel more at ease when he is taken aside by Jesus. And once removed from the crowd, Jesus can get the full attention of this man. And there they stand together. The poor man who is helpless, dependent on the benevolence of others, and Jesus who is the benefactor. We can imagine their eyes crossed. And the man begins to realize that something special is about to happen. And he looks into Jesus' eyes. And what does he see? Well, it's not recorded. But will he not have seen something of the Lord's compassion and sympathy? And now the Lord Jesus gives him pastoral care. And that is what he does with all those who are brought to him. Often he exposes their misery and then draws their attention to himself. Sometimes he asks, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" By asking this question, he emphasizes their need of a Savior. Now with this man, he does something similar. But since the man cannot hear, Jesus speaks to him sign language. That's also a manner of communication. And the Lord Jesus was able to... This was also a way of communication, and the Lord Jesus does not shy away from using that method. And of course, the Lord Jesus was able to speak one word of deliverance, and the man would be healed. And yet the Lord Jesus deals with this man according to his particular need. That's what the Lord always does. He teaches his children all the same lesson, but in a personal and distinct manner. The Lord always exposes our problem and our need and teaches us to have no expectation from Him, but from Him alone. Just read through the Gospels and notice the various methods the Lord Jesus uses for the same purpose. He knows exactly what type of lesson we need. And He knows how to humble us and how to make Himself needful and desirable. He condescends to us in such a way that His teaching will come across and be effective. Well, what does the Lord Jesus do with this man? Well, He puts His fingers in the man's ears. And then the Lord Jesus spit. That sounds weird. What does He spit on? Well, probably on his thumbs, with which He touches the tongue of the man while keeping the fingers in the ears. And by doing this, the Lord Jesus is communicating with the man. He does not ask him what He wants him to do, but by this symbolic action, the Lord Jesus shows the man that He understands his need. He touches with His fingers and thumbs. This is your handicap, and I am the one who can deliver you from it. And when the man looks into the Lord Jesus' eyes, he understands that He is about to heal him. The man gets the message and gains hope and expectation from these actions. And what then does it mean that the Lord Jesus spit? Well, many commentators tell us what it does not mean. Namely, that this was not a means of healing, or that spit has a natural virtue to effect a cure. What does it mean? Well, maybe it's one of the actions by which the Lord Jesus shows His compassion on the man. His spit is something personal. He gives His spit to the man, communicating that the Lord Jesus gives Himself to deliver him. The Lord Jesus involves His body and soul in the healing of this man. And that is further expressed in the other sign He employs. We read that the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. And this sign language is a sermon in itself. The Lord Jesus looked up to heaven, indicating that His help comes from above. And the man who looked into the eyes of Jesus is directed to look up. And I imagine that he followed the Lord Jesus' eyes, understanding that there is no healing possible if it does not come from God. And he also understands that Jesus Himself expects all from God, who made the heaven and the earth. The man looks up as well. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. And the Lord does not only point him to heaven, thereby showing where his expectation should be directed to, He also makes clear where He comes from. I have come from above. I descended to earth in this sin-sick world to heal. Though I come from heavenly glory, you are not too insignificant, since I am moved with compassion. I come to take you out of your isolation, from all that hinders you, to hear the gospel about the kingdom of God. He will loosen your tongue, so that you can use it again for the purpose you have received it, namely to glorify God. I come to you speaking your language. No one is beyond my reach. No one is too problematic for me to communicate with. I am the Word, and I want my Word to be heard. Well, this series of sign language employed by Jesus ends with a sigh. That's what we read. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. What does that mean? Well, there's much to say about this, but for time's sake, I will briefly mention a few aspects. Let me ask you, children, when do you sigh? Well, you sigh when you must do a difficult task. You dread it, and you sigh. You can also sigh when you feel hopeless, or when you suffer from pain, when you're burdened. You understand, sighing is related to sad things. And that's also what we read in Scripture. Even the creation groans because of sin and looks for its redemption. And you need to know that every groan is noticed in heaven. If you don't know what to pray, or you don't know how to put your misery into words, then you may sigh. God notices every groan. Why? Only because of this great physician. The Lord Jesus sighs, since he sympathizes with this poor man. Yes, Jesus is the compassionate high priest. The one who heals is also the one who carries away all our griefs and sorrows, since he can have compassion on us. And he suffers from the man's lack of fitness to glorify God. He suffers from the consequences of sin. Jesus sighing is an expression of his own suffering. This is also a gracious sighing. The Lord Jesus put so much effort into being a compassionate high priest for this man. Jesus ministers to this man with body and soul. He is physically and emotionally involved in the healing of this man. And a sigh is not too much for him to breathe for this man. This sigh expresses more than words. And what a miracle of grace. We delivered ourselves up to God's adversary, the devil. And by doing so, we became a prey to uselessness, to idleness. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon calls it vanity. And yet the Lord Jesus came under this vanity. He delivered himself up for us in order to save us from vanity, making us useful and in principle able to honor God. He sighed as the compassionate high priest. And this also includes his intercession. While he looked up, he expected all from his Father. And he made intercession for this man. And he did it with a sigh. Even a sigh gets noticed in heaven. Jesus' prayer is only a sigh. Are there among us who sigh? There can be so many reasons for that. We can sigh because of life's difficulties. We can sigh because the consequences of sin drag us down. What a blessing if you also know of a groaning because of sin. Who would not sigh when the Lord Jesus exposes our sin to us? That happens when he points to us our shortcomings and failures. And we discover that we are deaf to the Lord's calling, which comes to us so often. We hear, but don't understand. We hear, but don't perceive the Lord's instruction. There's a difference between noticing the Lord's calling and understanding it. And isn't that of our natural problems? Namely, that we hear but don't understand. There's so much confusion in our days. It's not because the Lord does not speak clearly to us anymore, but because of our spiritual hearing is blocked. The Lord created our ear to clearly hear the Lord's voice, but we don't understand. Has this become a burden to you? Well, this story reminds us of our misery. We have abused God's great gift of hearing, and now we cannot hear clearly anymore. And the same applies to our speech. Does it bother you that you so easily misuse your tongue? James says that our tongue no man can tame. And when you begin to realize that we are inclined to use our tongue to evil, and that we don't use it for the purpose God has given it, we will see our need of a Savior. Who is He? Isaiah says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem His stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Well, that's what the Lord Jesus did. He took the burden of this man upon Himself and carried it away to Calvary's cross. And there all the sins and all our failures are nailed to the cross. There the Lord Jesus hung and cried out for help, but He did not hear any answer. God held His peace as if He were deaf and unable to speak. Why? Because in this way His just wrath was satisfied. Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God against sin so that those who are spiritually deaf and dumb can be delivered from their bondage. And the Lord Jesus is still the same. He comes to you, deaf and dumb sinner. Under the preaching of His word, He puts His finger in your ears and touches your tongue. And as the chief prophet and teacher, He exposes your misery. But He also directs you to Himself. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver you from all your spiritual faults. Gregory the Great, one of the church fathers, says, "The Spirit is called the finger of God." When the Lord put His finger into the ears of the deaf and mute, He opened the soul of man and exercised faith through the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that happens under the preaching of the gospel. God's word wants to be heard. And what is impossible with man is possible with God. By His Spirit, He opens the ear gate and loosens the tongue. And so we've come to our third point, how God's word is received. Well, look at what happens now. How is Jesus' word received? Jesus begins to speak. Ephatha, meaning be opened. And then we read in verse 35, "And straightway His ears were opened, and the string of His tongue was loosed, and He spake plain." His ears are opened, and His tongue is loosed. What a miracle! Beautiful! Why did the Lord Jesus use a word in the Aramaic language, the language which He learned first from Joseph and Mary? Well, a few more times we read that the Lord Jesus spoke in the Aramaic language. To the girl of 12 years old, He said, "Talitha kumi." And when He hung on the cross, He cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Aramaic was his mother tongue, the language closest to his heart. And this again shows his compassion with the man. He is completely involved with the healing of this man. His pastoral care is care from the heart. And that is what he still does by his word and spirit. He condescends to your level and serves you from his heart. And what dwells in his heart? Well, I mentioned before, compassion. And he expresses his love by saying to the man, Ephatha, be opened, because the word must be heard. Also by those who by nature cannot hear or speak a single word. And I believe that this was also the first word this man heard. As soon as the Lord Jesus opened his mouth and said, Ephatha, he immediately heard it. And the Lord Jesus fulfills the word of the prophet, Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The man was locked up inside his handicap. He was locked up in his thoughts. And first of all, he was locked up in his sin. He was under the power and dominion of sin. But one word from the Lord Jesus changes everything. Ephatha, be opened. And the man's ears are opened. And his tongue is loosed. And this points to a spiritual reality. Namely that closed hearts will be opened by one word of him spoken with power in majesty. Because of the Lord's compassion to this man, he cannot remain the same. The Lord spoke to him one word of salvation, and the man was healed. And when the Lord speaks a word to our hearts, then all the shackles will fall off. Everything must give way to the word of the Lord Jesus. He has all power to deliver sinners from their worst plight. Do you think there are hopeless cases with the Lord? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ephatha, be opened. And by the applicatory work of the Spirit, you cannot but give up all resistance. God's word wants to be heard. He causes sinners who are spiritually deaf and dumb to listen to him so that they will receive life back again. The Lord Jesus says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I don't know what exactly happened after the man was healed. But anyway, the people became aware of the miracle and they're all flabbergasted. We read in verse 37, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Yeah, these people say a true word. They speak lofty words. And in their words, we hear the prophet Isaiah. As it were, they sing a song about the promised Messiah. And we can picture a crowd that is touched by the miracle that Jesus performed. Who would not be thankful to notice that so many seem to understand the word of God? That they even refer to God's creation. He has done all things well. We hear the echo of Genesis 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The people ascribe to the Lord Jesus divine power and authority. He makes all things well. And at first glance, we could conclude that this is a wonderful fruit of Jesus healing the deaf and dumb man. And yet, we read an opposite response from the Lord Jesus. Verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Jesus did not command the healed man not to speak. No, of him is said that he spoke plainly. No, he charged them, meaning the bystanders, the people who responded with great enthusiasm, who uttered biblical truths. They are told to hold their peace. And we wonder why? Because the Lord Jesus saw their hearts. And he knew that they were driven by false motives. They find in Jesus a Messiah who can deliver them from all their temporal needs. And yet the Lord Jesus wants to mute the admirers of miracles. He has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here we notice the irony of the story. Those who can hear and speak well bring a man to Jesus who is deaf and dumb. And then when the Lord Jesus opens his mouth and he begins to speak, then the deaf, who has an impediment in his speech, obeys the Lord Jesus' word. But those who can hear and speak well disobey him. God's word wants to be heard, and it is heard. But the question is, by whom? God's word is heard by the deaf and by those who are dead in sin and trespasses. His word is heard even by the wind and the sea. But those who have ears on their head don't hear. Why not? Why do they continue to disobey the Lord Jesus while he commands them not to tell anyone? Because these people don't see their need for the Savior. They are ignorant of their spiritual deafness and dumbness. And therefore, you are so poor when you don't listen and don't obey the Lord's command. What is his command? Repent and believe the gospel. That means that you need to humble yourself before the Lord because of your burden of sin, because of your unworthiness, and because of his majesty. We need to take refuge in him who has promised to look upon brokenhearted and contrite sinners. He has promised life to those who find nothing but death in themselves. And he has promised forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And what is our response? The difference between the healed man and the crowd is not their different speech, but their response to Jesus' word. His word wants to be heard. Do we obey? Do we submit? Or do we continue our life impenitently? Maybe we all will confess that the Lord is good and that he does good. He makes all things well. And we acknowledge the Lord's goodness in every blessing we receive. But do we also hear when he calls us? Do we submit to him? Do we obey when he calls to flee from sin, from selfishness, from lukewarmness, from pride? We daily need the Lord Jesus' mercy so that we will hear and do his word Do you sense your need of him? Also this morning, he speaks to you. Yes, to you personally. Ephatha, be opened. With the Lord, there is power to make you obedient for the first time and anew. He who said, let there be light, and there was light, is still the same. He opens deaf ears. He looses tongues. He opens hearts. And he grants and lightens the eyes of understanding. He grants it all through his word and spirit. God's word wants to be heard. What is your response? Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Amen.